Well, guys, we're about halfway through a series on, we started when we got this new building. Today's the sixth week we've been in this new building. And we started a series on rediscovering church, just because the pandemic, COVID, kind of really redefined church for a lot of people. A lot of people haven't been back. And so we're kind of looking biblically, what does the Bible say about church? What is it for? Who is it made up of? And I, so far, hopefully, again, we're kind of just taking one main point at a time. That's the goal. Sometimes I stretch it to a few more, but hopefully you realize already in the sense of that what a gift the church is to God's people. It's a gift that he established for our good and his glory. But also hopefully you've learned, and today you're going to get more details as far as what a need we have for the church. It's a gift to us, but we have a need for it, and we have a need for one another. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. I'll tell you this, Matt is leading the 11 o'clock service, and so we're doing the same series, but just a little different order. So it's great because I stay for the second hour, and if there's something in there I like, I just steal it from him and bring it to our hour. So that's what you're going to see some things today I did. Last week I stole Tim Hines, his definition of what the church is comprised of, and he said the true church is comprised of all who have been justified by God's grace alone through faith in Christ alone. So I shared that with you last week. Then this week, Matt and I were talking about just what's coming up, and we're both going to do the same. The next 4 weeks, we're doing the same, using the same metaphors of what God talks about his church, being a family, a body, the bride, and a flock, but we're doing it in different orders. But Matt was sharing just kind of, he shared just this one thought about those four, and I want to share them with you because I thought it was excellent. Today, we're going to be talking about the church being a body, and we're going to learn about the importance of being the one another's in a sense, but we're just going to touch the scratch of that, but we're going to hopefully leave knowing we all are needed and we all have purpose. Hopefully that's what we're going to do today. Then the next one is the family, and Matt pointed out how, so the church, the body is how that the family is talking about us, one, the church, us needing one another. The family is talking about, again, about us needing one another, but having a heavenly father. So we're a family with God as our father. Then we're talking about the flock, and the flock is about us needing a shepherd. We're sheep. And some people know a lot about sheep. Others of us not know much. We hear rumors about them. But we need a shepherd, and that's what we're going to talk about there. And last but not least, when talking about a bride, it's going to be how does Christ see us? Because he sees us as his bride. And not many of us marry someone who we didn't see as beautiful. Now, maybe you didn't see him as beautiful, but I saw Melinda as beautiful when she was a little 18-year-old bride. I see her beautiful today. But Christ sees us as his bride as beautiful. And we'll talk about that. The truth is, there's really nothing new under the sun. Ecclesiastes said that, and Solomon said it in the book of Ecclesiastes. And so we're, again, hopefully what we're doing is reminding you of some things you must never forget. You might have heard them before, but hopefully they're going to be in a way that you can now live them out and apply them to your own life. So let me pray. Father, I do thank you for this day. I thank you that you, in your wisdom and your goodness, has established a day of rest for us. A day set aside for us to gather as your people and worship you and to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. And I pray today that would happen in this hour, in this building. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I've asked Carl Hoff to come up and read the passage we're going to read today. He's going to be reading out a New International Version. So if you're comfortably able to stand with us just out of respect and honor for God's word, if you're not, then please be seated. It's fine. And Carl's going to read out of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 27.
Are we good? Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not, for that reason, stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has made the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it.
Thank you, Carl. You may be seated. Guys, one other thing by way of logistics. Again, we are new in this building. We came in, it was pretty cold, and I said, Mike, should we turn the heater on or off? We decided, well, let's turn it on. But if you start with all of you at 98.6 degrees, this many people, it heats up pretty much. So if you get warm, Mike, or if you start getting warm up there, maybe just turn it. It's on, set at 68, so we should be comfortable, but I don't want any of you passing out from heat stroke or anything like that. Well, guys, I just want to make three observations about these verses. And again, all today really is to whet our appetites for about the next 7 weeks, what's to come. We're really going to unpack these verses there, but I want today just to look at the implications of us being the body. If God uses that as a metaphor, he must have had something he wanted us to learn about that. And so we're going to hopefully today just kind of learn in the sense of what the big picture is and then come back and look at it smaller. But here's the application or the observation. Number one, just as a physical body has many parts, some visible and some invisible. The title of today's message is The Invisible Parts Needed. And so just as the physical body has many parts, some physical and some invisible, so does the church body. Verse 12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And so what I believe that we need to understand is we really are one body. We really are better together than apart. And so again, stealing from the 11 o'clock service, because they did this a week ago, Tony Stover had this great video about an orchestra. And I used to use about finding our place on the bus. You know, find your place on the bus. That's how you're going to be happy in a church, is you find your place on the bus. Well, the intern let me understand that that's not a good analogy at all, because on a bus, only the driver is working. Everybody else is just sleeping back there and talking back there. So we've done away with find your spot on the bus, and now I try to have the mindset of find your place in the orchestra. What place do you have in the orchestra? So we're going to watch this video. It's about 5 minutes, and it's beautiful, so I think you'll enjoy it. But at the end, I'm going to ask you just kind of where you are to tell me what are some implications you think about this video of an orchestra that apply to us as a church, us as the body of Christ, okay? So that's your assignment, and we'll come back in just 5 minutes, and we'll talk about that. So here we go. Yes, in case you're wondering, that does sound similar to Mark's and my band, kind of the same. But guys, so again, when you brainstorm, there's no right or wrong answer, right? So just what is something you think out of that orchestra piece, that video we just watched, that pertains to us as the body of Christ, comparing a body to an orchestra? What can you get? Just yes, Josh. Amen. He's saying time, because if you couldn't hear him, time spent alone helps be prepared for your part in the whole orchestra, but it doesn't replace it. Excellent. So our times with God are important for us to come and have something to share with one another. Josh, way to go. That boy should be a preacher. Way to go. I saw someone over here. Yes. 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 Very good. I'm going to go two things. One is the sense she said that the more that there was beauty together, they were stronger together than apart. But the other thing is so good. Did you notice how they got others just joined in with them? The little girls directing and the other people singing and some of us just being blessed. It did. It stimulated other people as well. As they saw that orchestra, it stimulated them. What else? Those are great. Yes, Sean Ashenbrenner. Yeah. And guys, each part has each one is beauty on its own. And the reality is everyone had their own part. They did. And they were playing a same song. They probably all had different parts of that song they were playing. I don't know music that well, but I don't think they all had the same exact things they were playing. Some played, what, harmony, melody? I don't know all those things. But I don't think they all played the exact same thing. But together, they were beautiful. What else? A couple more. Yes, Brian. Very good. Brian, who's been a fireman for over 30 years, retired now, and I'm thinking he's going to Montana, but his small group's praying that he stays, so we're going to see how that works out. And they're going to Montana. But I talked about how that you have the individuals, but as they come together as a team, accomplish so much more. And fire crews, I'm sure that was the case. If they went their own way, it wouldn't be helpful. Well, guys, I'm just going to share a few. I think we might have hit them all. One is I put the sound got better as the director took charge. They did have a script they were following. Everybody didn't just play what they wanted. And so I think God in his grace has given us his word to tell us how to live, how to love one another. And as we follow his ways and his word, it's going to be beautiful to the world outside. Each individual in the orchestra was a part of something bigger than themselves. You hit on that. Some in the video didn't even know they were being used. Like, for instance, the little girl on top of the thing, I don't think she probably knew she's been videoed. And yet, the first time I saw it, it just blessed me to see her directing. I loved it. The little elderly lady bringing all, the invisible man who filmed the thing brought joy to all of us. So there were people that didn't even know they were going to be used necessarily to bless us today. They didn't all play the same thing, but they did all play something. They all had a part to play. And then the last one, the video was made up of people from all ages and stages and used to bless us. I love there were seniors. I love there were children. There were babies. And that's what I love about Firm Family Church. We all are different ages and stages. And I hope we'll always be that. Hope we don't become an old church or a young church or everybody's mature in their faith. I hope we have people across the board because we want to help people develop a faith that is real, friends that are true. So that's the first one, first observation of that passage. The second one, though, the passage that we read in 1 Corinthians is the individual parts are to work together for the common good. And that's what they certainly were doing. Verse 7 in 1 Corinthians, which you did not read, says this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." God has a big picture in mind, and it's to bless the world, to bless his people. And just as our brains, our hearts, and our lungs hopefully coordinate and work together to make us healthy, so does the body. And if any of those are out of sync, then we know the body's not functioning well. Some of you have been sick, and you know they can just be one part of your body, but it can take you out. It can lay you down for a long time because they need to work together, so do we. Then the third observation is God in his wisdom, purpose, and plan is who determines the part each of us play. And I think that sometimes that's a hard thing to understand. And sometimes we think, well, if I can't be in the worship band, I don't have anything to offer. Or if I can't run sound, I don't have anything to offer. Or if I can't teach, I have anything to offer. And the reality is there are all kinds of different parts. And God assigns us to different parts. Verse 18, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body every one of them just as he wanted them to be. And here's a quote by David Gusick, who's a past current pastor, but also writes Bible commentaries. He says, in the design, we see the wisdom of the designer. Everybody has something, but nobody has everything. And guys, this church, if we didn't have all the different parts, it would never, ever be used to impact the world. Everybody has something to offer. And that, again, we're going to break that down in the days ahead. But just for today, just a few big applications. And again, we're going to come back and look at them a lot. So I don't want you to think, well, we didn't really walk away with anything we can do. Here's something maybe you can do. One is discover your part in this body. What is your part to be up on the pole up there and just directing? I mean, maybe it's just, maybe you don't know anything else. That's okay. I'm not sure she knew how to direct either, but she certainly was used to bless us. But discover your part. And here's three ways you could do that. Is just one, ask God how he might want to use you. God, if you created me and you made me and I'm still here and you're a good God and heaven's better than earth, I must be here for a purpose. So God, how do you want to use me on this earth? Ask others what part they think you might fit. Sometimes it's good to ask other people, what do you think I have to offer to this local church or to my neighborhood or to my job? A former pastor of mine used to use this phrase, and I loved it. He talked about how do you find your fit. He said, just find a need and meet it. And I like that, but I also would follow up with this, find a need and meet it, but then evaluate it. Because I think if it is where you fit, I think two things that happen. Other people will benefit from it. So if I were to find a need and meet it, okay, we know we want to expand our worship team. Okay, great. I found a need. I'm going to meet it tonight. I'm going to the worship team. Hand me the trumpet. Hand me the trombone. Whatever you want. I'm going to play it. And I think you probably realize, okay, that's a need, but you don't meet it. I mean, I don't even know how to read music, so how's that going to help? So if one is find a need, ask God to ask ourselves as far as after we find a need and meet it, evaluate, did God use it to help or bless someone else? The second thing, though, that I think is true when we find our spot is, did I enjoy it? I really believe when you find your spot, you will enjoy it. Some people have what I call the gift of helps. They love to serve. And I know some of you have that because I see you. And others of us, that's a chore. And as we serve because we're called to serve and because there's a need, we do it. But it's not, we don't go looking for needs, looking for ways to serve. Some of you do. You just look for a way that you can jump in and serve. So there's all kinds of different ways. But again, I believe that we're created with a purpose. And I believe that we are to be contributors, not only consumers. And we're going to talk a lot about this, but I want to make sure you understand now, some of you at this stage are just consumers. You don't even know what we're talking about when we talk about the body, and I'm glad you're here. But there'll come a time, and hopefully that God will draw you in to be a part of this body and say, I'm now a part of this church. I now have bowed my knee to Jesus, and I'm a part of this church. Now I need to know, God, how do you want to use me? But if you're outside of that and you're saying, I don't even know. Guys, I hope you'll just keep coming and consuming and being blessed by us and keep learning and keep hearing. Nobody's going to pressure you to do something you don't want to do. But I think there come a time you'll realize, I've got something I can contribute. It might be service. It might be music. I don't know, but we'll talk in the days ahead. And the second one, let's accept our part in this body. Here's another great quote. It's from Matthew Henry. He's a little older, 1662 he was born. We should be doing the duties of our own place, not murmuring in ourselves nor quarreling with others that we are not in theirs. Guys, we're all created different. We all have different gifts. We all have different passions. We all have different abilities. And we don't want to be comparing ourselves and say, well, I'm not that important because I don't do that, or I'm more important because I do that. That will just lead to problems. The Bible talks about to compare yourself to one another is just a foolish way to do things. You either be discouraged and think you don't have what it takes, or you become prideful, neither of which are helpful. Last one, let's use our part of the body. I shared this quote last week. I used it a lot when I used to teach. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? If not here, then where? Where will you find a body to fit into and say, I want to be a part of making beautiful music? And my part might not be the director. My part might not be the horns, the drums. I don't know what my part is, but I do want to be a part of impacting the world for Christ. I know I have a purpose, and I want to be a part. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. All I want you realizing is that you are needed. You do have a purpose in this world. The weeks ahead, I hope to show that we all can discover what that purpose is, discover what our gifts are, and be using them.